The Lord. On Christ the solid rock we stand. On Christ the solid rock I am standing this morning. Because my husband and I were having a conversation this morning and I said, you know, it's funny. God doesn't look for the people who want to come and preach. God looks for the people who are hiding. You know? The people who are hiding, the people who are resisting, the people who like to be in the background. But yet, guess what God does? God says, you know what? It's not your plan but mine. It's not your will, but my will. Not your thoughts, but his thoughts. So I'm just surrendered to what he wants to do this morning. Praise the Lord. So this morning we'll be talking about be imitators of God. We're going to be looking at two main texts. From Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. Please, if we have it, let's put it up in the Amplified. As well as Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. So Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 may be a little out of order, but the Holy Spirit is working in the booth, so you can do all things. Praise God. All right, let's read together. Therefore, be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example. As well, beloved children, imitate their father. Can we have a second verse? And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. Praise the Lord. So Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. And I'm reading from the NLT. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Praise the Lord. So really, the title of our sermon is Be Imitators of God. You will see that the word imitate, it doesn't quite convey the full message. So I will define it as, you know, but I will define it, I will change the definition slightly for our understanding a little bit. So what does it mean to imitate somebody? When you imitate somebody, you follow them as a model. You do what they want. You do what they do. You follow their style. You reproduce them closely. Sometimes you resemble them, like a lot of our children resemble us. We live like them. We do what they do. You know, and you know, I mean, all of us in this country especially, you will see people being celebrated for their achievements. Maybe they are doing really well in sports. I remember a colleague of mine, we used to make fun of him at the time because his daughter was probably about 15. And at the time, she loved Allen Iverson, who plays basketball. She loved him so much that we started calling her Mrs. Iverson, because she idolized him. She watched all his games, you know. And then later, that whole, her whole love changed. It changed over to LeBron James, when LeBron started doing well and Allen Iverson slowly faded into the background. The bottom line, though, is that in our world, even within church, even within the work of God, there will be leaders who respect, you know. Kids will always have somebody that we want to be like when we grow up, you know. But the bottom line is, unless these people are following the greatest example, Jesus, they are doomed to fail and disappoint us at one point in one time, you know. And that's the risk. The risk, though, is that sometimes we put people on a serious pedestal, that we remove their humanness. And we almost make them God, equal to God. And that becomes risky even for us, because we will pick up on even their bad, their weaknesses if we're not careful. And that's why Jesus becomes our ultimate example. You know, because us as children of God, that is our number one example. We can't, and really just to adjust the definition of that imitating a little bit, in that Ephesians 5, I was saying that we should be imitators of God. Let's think about it. If we imitate somebody, you're not really giving too much thought to why they do what they do. You're just doing it. But Jesus is telling us this. Take a step further. don't just imitate me. Know me, number one. Know what I came to do on earth. Know my purpose. So we as children of God, it's important that beyond imitating God, we know Jesus. We know his purpose. We ask ourselves, why did he come? Why did he go up on the cross? Why did he die? Was he God while he was on earth? Or how was he able to perform those miracles? And the only way that we know and understand these things is through the Bible, the Word of God. Praise God for that. And really, it's to God be the glory, because imagine if the Bible were repeated second hand to second hand to second hand, one way or the other, we would start missing parts of it. But the Holy Spirit helped us and is conserving the message so that we can know who Jesus is, we can meditate on who Jesus is, we can, because Bible says that, especially when we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus, then we can make the Word of God ours, we can believe it and start to live like God. Praise the Lord. So, that's the blessing. That is a blessing. So, really, let's look at our second text. You know, our second text is also talking about the gifts that Christ gave to the church. If we look at Ephesians 4:13, you know, and I'm really still talking about knowing Christ, because knowing Christ comes to two components. Knowing Christ comes to us understanding the measure of the love of Jesus and the faith of Jesus. What am I saying? I'm saying, as you read through the Word of God, don't just read to know for reading's sake, but read to understand what motivated Jesus. You know, if you understand what motivates me, then you will not be copying me so much. You, at least you will understand the reason why I do the things I do. You know, and that is a challenge this morning. We ourselves, we will grow in love and faith to the measure of the fullness of Jesus' love and faith. That is how much I understand about Jesus that I will grow to that area. It's to the level that I understand about his love that I will start exercising that love in my life. Do you understand? Because if you understand what Jesus did on the cross, and you understand that you are now a son and a daughter of the Most High, that all things have passed away, that your sinful nature has been changed, then that means that I have God's nature within me. It means I can live the life that God called me to live. It means I can love not within my human restraints, but I can love with the God kind of love. Why? Because the Word of God says it has been shed abroad in our heart freely. And that's what helps us to imitate God. And that's what helps us to really, whereby we imitate him because we know him, we believe him, we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. So effortlessly, those things just start to function in our lives. You know, I'm not following rules. You know, because sometimes we human beings, we tend to feel that we're really smart. We put rules in our lives that, okay, this is a rule of how to walk in love. Be patient with everyone. So I can determine to be patient, but my determination will only carry me so far. Eventually, the devil is going to test that patience of mine. He's going to test that patience of mine. And if I'm only basing that decision to be patient based on my determination, I'm going to let myself down. And I'm going to let others down. So that's why this is something whereby we don't just imitate blindly. We know who we're imitating. We believe what he did on the cross. We believe who he made us to be. And we can now start exercising those gifts he made available to us freely. So that way, it takes the work off of us. Do you understand? So that way, we're not saying, you know what, my hair has to be a certain way, and then I'm imitating God. Or, do you understand what I'm saying? So that way, it's not human motives. There are no human motives. There are no selfish motives. Because, unfortunately, that is what the flesh does to us. It tries to put us whereby, let me deceive people. But the Holy Spirit is saying, look, if you abide in the Word of God and you let it abide in you, you will walk like Jesus. You will exercise love and faith like Jesus did, to the point whereby it's not up to you. It's up to the working of His Spirit within you. Praise the Lord. So, with us understanding about that, and with us understanding that Jesus' love is already being poured into us. In fact, it's already been poured for us. You know, if you understand, like I was teaching my Sunday school class this morning, and I was asking, I said, are you born again? By the grace of God, they were. We thank God for that. But I said, you know what? You need to understand why you are born again. You need to understand why Jesus came. You need to, we're not just coming to church to mark a register. This is our life. This is the life that God has called us to. God has not called us to a life of pretenses. God has called us to a life where we fully accept what he has made us to be through the word of God. And we live it out plainly. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. So when we're imitators of God, we are knowers of God. We are chasers of God. We are lovers of God. Do you understand? We're in constant pursuit. We want to know who Jesus is. It means when we read our Bible, we don't just read surface. We read it because we really want to know the deeper story underneath it. We really want to know why. Why did Jesus leave everything that made him God? That's what the Bible says in Philippians. It says Jesus, he left all his power, all his wisdom. He left everything that made him God so that he could become flesh, so that he could redeem you and I. That was the only way that he could redeem you and I. Blood needed to be shed. The blood of lambs, you know, of the cows and the goats in the Old Testament, it was very limited. God had in mind that, look, I want to do something that fully redeems. I want to pour all of my life into my children. You know, and that's what Jesus did. So it's important that we understand why Jesus did what he did. Because, so let me continue that story. So he left all that made him God, and then he came here on earth to become human like you and I, to have all the organs and tissues working, to have all the struggles that you and I face every day. But you know what? He operated successfully a life of faith and a life of love. And that convinces me, because he walked on this earth successfully, I can operate successfully as well. By the grace of God. Praise the Lord. So it's important when we imitate our Lord Jesus Christ that we know him. It's important that we pursue him with all of our heart. And then the Holy Spirit, he gives us revelation so that that sacrifice on the cross, it goes beyond a story. So that sacrifice on the cross, all the blessings that come from it, and there are so many blessings that come from it. So many. We're going to get into it. You know. So if we look at the example of Philip in John 14, verse 8 to 11a. John 14, verse 8 to 11a. So let's read together. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak, they are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. And then verse 11, just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Think about it. Philip was one of the disciples. You know, he had walked with Christ. He had been called. Think about it. They were in ministry, full-time ministry. They woke up. They knew when Jesus spent time with God. You know, they knew when Jesus had an appointment. He had seen the miracles. And yet, he was still confused on who Jesus really was. And some of us were like that in church. We come to church where you might even be serving in the ministry. But yet, what Jesus did on the cross is not yet a reality to us. And that is a hindrance. That will make our imitating, you know, you just look and I will do. But it goes beyond that. We need to look. We need to know. We need to meditate on what Jesus did. And we need to understand the benefits of him on the cross and his resurrection. We need to believe it, believe who he made us to be, and then we'll be complete imitators of God. No effort, just the Holy Spirit working it out. Praise the Lord. So we don't want to be like Philip. We want to go beyond the surface to understand who Jesus was. We want to understand why did he love humanity so much in order to affect it, in order to give up so much, you know? And really, it's important that we understand, and Jesus is calling us to a life of that. Jesus is saying, come and know me. Come and understand who I am. Come closer and I will open the eyes of your heart so that you can function the way I purpose for you to function. A born-again child of God, a co-heir with Christ, Jesus, so that those signs can be, you know, the same way that Jesus walked on this earth, that's the same way he expects you and I to walk. Praise the Lord. But the starting point is where we believe what he did on the cross and we exercise it every day of our lives. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. So now we talked about how when we want to imitate God, the starting point is to understand the love and faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we try to understand Jesus' love walk. What motivated Jesus to love, you know? And then we actually accept that love. Because you can't give what you don't have, right? You can't give what, I can't give what I don't have now. If I don't know something, I just don't know it. I'm limited by what I know. But on the other hand, if we accept the love that Jesus makes available, and it is abundant, then it makes it easy for me to love others. Praise the Lord. So God expressed his love for us when he sent Jesus to the world to partake in our human frailty for the sins of the world. You know, because God loves man so much. The Bible says that he loves us with an everlasting love. Everlasting love. You know, a love that has no flaw. Whereby there's no depth of what I can do, and yet God will still keep loving us. Whereby there's no ceiling. There's no worst possible thing that you could do in your mind. But yet God's everlasting love is still in pursuit of us. So now it's up to us to believe it. Because some of us, we have grown up being told lies by the enemy. You know, the enemy has, or we have been told that God is not happy with us. Guess what? All the time, God's mercies are always, God's hands are always open for us. God's mercies are always abundant towards us. Praise the Lord. So let's read a scripture. Let's read Romans 8 from 31 to 39. I like how the message puts it. And I want all of us to read this time. I want all of us to read it. So let's start reading. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? 32. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Let's pause for a minute. Let's go back to that 32. So you see that scripture is telling us that God did not hesitate. He put everything on the line for us. Think about it. If somebody puts everything on the line for you, what does that mean? You know? But you know how God did it and put everything on the line? He became what we needed so that we could be redeemed. Think about it. Jesus became sin so that you and I can be righteous. The Bible says that he became poor so that you and I can be rich. The Bible says that he took on the wounds and infirmities so that you and I can be healed. Which means, is there anything that you need, you and I need this morning, that Jesus has not become to do it gladly and freely? If there is anything that maybe you think is beyond the reach of God, it's because you do not know what sacrifice was made for us at the cross. Praise the Lord. So it's important that we understand that. Let's continue to read verse 33. And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? We're still reading together. Please, let's not sleep. No yawning. Let's go to verse 34. Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Wow. So he stuck up for us on the cross. He became all that we needed. And yet, even at this very moment, he's still sticking for us, still making intercession for us. Aren't we blessed? It's like somebody woke up, made sure you had your back, made sure your future was taken care of, made sure your past was taken care of, made sure that what you are doing right now is taken care of. So that gives us confidence. That gives me confidence every day. I'm never alone. My life has purpose. It has meaning because of what Jesus did. Your life has purpose. Your life has meaning. God's plan for you. It is beyond what your understanding is right now, but it is alive and it will bring glory to him. It will bring joy to you as well as you honor and obey him. Praise the Lord. That's the life that God called us to. A life whereby we always have an advocate. There's always somebody sticking up for us. Always. Nobody can lie against me. Why? Because I have an advocate. He's fighting for me. He's sticking up for me. Even where I'm not there. Even where my arms and my legs cannot get. He's making intercession for us. Praise the Lord. And that is our heritage. When something is your heritage, is it disputable? It's not. The only person that disputes it is us. And that is based on our ignorance or what we choose to believe. What do you choose to believe this morning? Do you choose to believe that you're a child of the Most High? Do you choose to believe that nothing can stop God from loving you? Do you choose to believe that his love for you is from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting? Every morning, there's a bale load of new mercies. New mercies. So there is no condemnation. In fact, there's no accusation against you, child of God. Why? Because Jesus paved the way. Not only did he pave the way, but he paved the way for my today. He paved the way for my tomorrow. He paved the way for my future. And he took care of the past. So the enemy cannot convict me anymore. Why? Because the past is forgotten. The past is forgiven. The past is only a memory with the devil and whoever else chooses to have it. But before heaven, I am free. I'm like a newborn baby. I'm like a newborn baby. No memory. No memory. The only memory I have now is the word of God telling me who I am and changing me every day. So, of course, this is the life that God has called us to. So don't let it, I mean, if the Holy Spirit now displays patient love out of me, don't be surprised. It's the working of God within you and within me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's continue to read. I'm going to drink my water while you read. Verse 35. Do you think? There is no way, not troubles, not hard times. Hold on. I like to read the Bible slow. Why? Because it gives me better understanding. Think about it. That scripture is telling us that there is no trouble that will drive a wedge between me and the love of Christ for me. Praise the Lord. Hard times will not drive a wedge between me and the love of Christ for me. Let's continue reading that scripture. No hatred, no hunger, no homelessness, not bullying, threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst listed sins in the scripture will stop God from loving you and I. Praise the Lord. Doesn't that make you excited? I mean, that frees me whereby I don't need to labor anymore. I don't need to wake up and meet X, Y, Z requirement before God can love me. That is a human love. The human love is give and receive. God's love is, I will give you no matter what. I'll keep giving no matter what. My door is always open no matter what. I'll keep accepting you. There's no condition. There's no date. There's no time stamp to my righteousness. I'm always righteous. That's what the love of God does for us. So that makes it easy. I understand the love of Jesus, and that's the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus, he came whereby the worst sinner possible, his arms are open wide. His arms are open wide, and nothing will ever stop him. No, there is no worst sin. Nothing would ever stop God from loving all of us. You know, that's what the word of God is telling us. And then if we read further in that scripture, let's read further. So they kill us in cold blood because they hate us. They hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. Let's continue. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. 38. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Praise the Lord! Nothing thinkable or unthinkable, nothing imagined or ever imagined will ever get me between, will ever come between me and God. Why? Because of the way that Jesus embraced us. Praise the Lord. That is it. That's, we were loved. The Bible says while we were yet sinners, he loved us. So for many of us that may not be born again, the Bible is saying God still loves us. He's in pursuit. And even if you're born again, God's love is still there. It's still there. It never stops. It's an everlasting love. Praise the Lord. And John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Praise the Lord. So God loves us so much. And Jesus now came into flesh through Jesus to give himself on our behalf. There was nothing in us to motivate him to love us. Like he had nothing to gain, you know. But he did it out of his own loving nature and to please the Father. So since God is love, all that is on us is we accept the love of God and we now enjoy that love. Praise the Lord. And really, that is the love of God, love of Christ in a nutshell. You know, and it's important that we study how Christ loved people. Jesus was kind. He was gentle with the broken. But even though he was forceful, he spoke the truth in love where truth needed to be spoken. You know, because remember, there was a time he told Peter, very direct, Peter, don't, he said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. He was talking to the spirit, motivating Peter at the time. Because there are times sometimes that we do need to take, we need to speak the truth in love. But the bottom line is Jesus Christ is our only supreme example of love. And that love continues to us from the cross till all eternity. He will never stop loving us. Praise the Lord. So love, again, is the indicator of our knowledge, is what indicates how serious imitators that we are. The Bible says in John 13:35, it says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another, it is really the first mark by which people start saying, oh, this brother is taking the work with God very seriously. Praise the Lord. The more that we understand and grow in the love of God, the more the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the love of God for us. And the more we start to exercise the love of God within us. Praise the Lord. You know, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has shed abroad. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So based on that, we can love others authentically. We don't have to love with, you know, there's some love whereby you're like, yeah, right. I will love him as long as he's good to me. But the love of God keeps loving, even if he's mean to you. Praise the Lord. And that's really the love that God has called us to. That's what we have received. And that's what God expects us by the Holy Spirit to show, whereby it will be a life that we live day in, day out. So the love of God that Jesus lived, that Jesus exhibited, it was not natural. And really, the life of God is the love of God. It is not human love. It does not come from man. Otherwise, it will change his mind after every 5 seconds. As soon as you do something wrong, that love will expire. But we just read, the love of God doesn't expire. And really, the only thing that prevails, the only thing that stays is really something that is authored from God. If our love is authored from God, it will stay the course. If our faith is authored from God, it will stay the course until you see the promise. Praise the Lord. So it's very important that we know, we are matured based on how much we know this Jesus, based on how much we understand his love, based on how much we understand his life of faith. That is where our maturity comes from. Praise the Lord. And really, it affects our life, the quality, the fruits that we produce. It's affected by how much we understand about the love that Jesus had for us and the faith, the life of faith that Jesus lived as well. Praise the Lord. One other part of the love of Jesus is in his mercy. His mercy flows out of that love. You know, as I was preparing, I had first of all separated love and mercy. But then I realized that, you know, if somebody is motivated by true love, then mercy just comes out of it. Mercy just flows out. You can't really separate it. The Bible tells us in Luke 6:36 that we should be compassionate just as our Father is compassionate. Think about it. Can we be compassionate by ourselves? We can be compassionate by ourselves. But when we believe what Jesus did on the cross, when we believe that we have new nature, a new nature that is now filled with the love of God, then we can be compassionate the same way that our Father is compassionate. And that way we can imitate God to the full, complete example. We can now be hitting the point. Let me give an example. So there's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:26. Let's read it, actually. Sorry, you guys, that's a new scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:26. I didn't give this before. Okay. Can we read NLT? Okay, so I run with purpose. This is the Apostle Paul. He was saying, let's read it together. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. When I saw that word, I got a little excited. I'm thinking shadow boxing. Think about it. If you have a boxer, right? And you know how boxers are before they get ready for every match. Who knows how boxers get? That's true. But you see, once again, I was watching boxing with my husband, and these people, they were about to fight. The fight was not even today, but they brought both of them in front of each other, and they just started talking nonsense to each other, like provoking each other. They didn't even put on boxing gloves yet, but they put them like face to face, whereby all somebody did was for somebody to just slap somebody, fight, some fights have come out that way. But really, I call that shadow boxing. It wasn't within the match. There were no points to be scored. All it was is that two people getting a rise out of each other, and everybody else on the other side of the TV saying, yes, let's see how this fight will come out, because everybody's mouthing off. It's just a fight of words. But think about it. If we're not careful, our walk with God will become shadow boxing. We need it to be the real deal. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here. He was saying, look, every time I run this race with purpose, in every step, every time I come to church, it's deliberate. That's what he was saying here. Every time I come to Bible study, it's deliberate. Why? Because I want to hit the mark every time. I want to hit my opponent where it counts. I don't just want to hit the air and do shadow boxing. And that is really the life that God has called us to. God has not called us to come and learn the word of God so that we can be full of knowledge. He has called us to understand the word of God so that in our lives, in the issues in our lives, we will not be hitting shadows. We'll be hitting the mark. Every time the enemy whispers a lie, we will confront him and say, no, it is written. That is what it is. Every time the enemy comes at us with sickness, we say, no, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been made whole. Because Jesus took it, I'm not going to bear it anymore. Because he took it, I'm not bearing it. Anything that threatens my peace. Because Jesus brought, Bible says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Anything that tries to mess with my peace is up to me, not to shadow box. When you shadow box, you are playing. We don't shadow box in this. We shadow box with the word of God because we want to hit the target at where it is at. And you know what? The enemy will always keep trying to test what you know. Go beyond your knowledge. Make it practical. Let it apply in your day to day. Every morning, before you get out the house, apply the word of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Gone are those days when ignorance will make us wake up and we will be like, I don't know what today will bring. No, you know what today will bring. Why? Because you have the life-giving, creating spirit within you. That is the spirit within you and I, as long as we are born again. So you and I, we determine what our day will be like. We're not just subject to the current. We tell the current where to go. You know, water goes, right? On its own. You and I, God has planted us to speak to the course of our life and to change it to the way of God, to the way of purpose. No shadow boxing, always hitting the mark. You hit the mark. You hit the devil where he needs to be hit, so that no more will we be taking any losses. There are no losses planned for us. It's only victory that is planned for us. But like the Apostle Paul, we run with purpose in every step. That is why we purposefully, we slow down, we understand the love of Jesus. We understand the faith of Jesus. Why? No shadow boxing is allowed. No shadow boxing is allowed. Gone are those days when we keep saying, my faith does not work. Oh no, your faith will work. Yeah. It will work because you are convinced of it. You are fully persuaded. There are no doubts. There are no ifs. There are no maybes. There are no whens. It is a matter of, I have spoken and so be it. And I thank God with thanksgiving. And I see it. And I stand on it. That is the solid ground that God has called you and I to live on. The solid ground is our faith. That faith is unshakable. As long as I don't move, it will be as I have spoken. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about the mercy of God. And really, the mercy of God, the mercy that Jesus displayed is very interesting. You know, I was listening to a message recently, and the person preaching was talking about, he was talking about Jesus. You know, while Jesus, he was speaking, and the teachers of religious law, they brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. Never mind, they didn't even bring the man. But then again, that's a different story. That's a different story. You know, that's a whole other preaching to be continued. Praise the Lord. We are free. The Bible says in Christ Jesus, no male, no female. We are one, no Jew, no Greek, no division between us. We are one. Why? Because of His Spirit within us. Praise the Lord. So the religious teachers, they brought the woman. She had been caught in adultery. And they put her in front of the crowd. They said, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses, we're reading John 8, 3 to 11. Sorry. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? You know. So in verse 6, it says they were trying to trap him into something, into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Jesus just changed the course of the law in that one act. Because Jesus said, look, no matter does justice work anymore. And Jesus said, he stooped down. They kept demanding an answer anyway, in verse 7. And then he said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. I challenge us today. The love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts, it also carries with it mercy. If you read this story beyond the story for what it is, but you understand the mercy of Jesus, let it affect situations in our lives. Let us be in places where we extend mercy, especially where mercy is not expected. And that is a real life that Jesus has called you and I to live. Lives whereby we give mercy. We give mercy because he did. I mean, really, if you think about it, justice, you know, some of us were so justice-minded. Justice! But, you know what, Jesus is saying, if Jesus were to consider what we deserved, you and I would not be here today enjoying the mercy of God, because we rightfully deserve death. The Bible says wages of sin is death. When somebody is born with a sinful nature, it's like the case has already been closed. But Jesus changed it all around. He changed our sinful nature, whereby now there's no condemnation, no accusation. Nobody can say, Chibuzo, you're not born again. It's impossible. Exactly. The Spirit of God witnesses even to him that he's born again. So that settles it. And really, that is what the love of God is all about. The love of God is all about mercy. And I challenge us today, for those of us maybe who might have missed it in one way or the other, This is a challenge. Sisters, brothers, rather than condemn, let's be the one to hug. Rather than condemn, let's be the one to say, okay, you know, you are my brother, you are my sister, I take you by the hand. No matter what, we have to put it in the past and we look forward. Praise the Lord. But then again, do we just do it just based on, they said that's what we should be doing every Sunday in church? We don't do it. We do it based on our understanding of the love of God and the love and the Holy Spirit motivating us. The love of God motivating us, compelling us, so that we just don't go the way of our natural reflexes. You know? Because the more we grow in the things of God, those natural reflexes should start to die. And the word of God should start to dominate. That should start to affect how we live, how we talk, how we deal with people, how we extend mercy. So that way we can, that way those people too can live without any condemnation, including ours, so that they can live freely, forgiven and free. Praise the Lord. So like I said, the mercy of God is always available for us every day, new mercies, and that's why we can come to God with no time stamp on our righteousness. I just love that. I was teaching this morning and the Holy Spirit just whispers, there's no expiration date on our righteousness. And I just got excited. I just got excited because I said, no expiration date. It means if I wake up anytime T, I can approach my Father and say, God, help me. Help me. And I have an audience. Oh, that just blows my mind. That just blows my mind. Because it means that this God, is there anything he cannot do? He became sin. Everything I need in this life, he became. So that there would be nothing holding us back. We just spoke about a few things. That he became poor, that you and I will become rich. He became the sickness. He took it on himself so that you and I can live well and be healthy in this body. And then the Bible says he took away our griefs and sorrows. So everything depressing me, Jesus already dealt with at the cross. There's nothing holding me back anymore. Praise the Lord. Because everything that Jesus did at the cross, all I need to do is to, number one, know it. Number two, walk in the light of it. Actually, number two, believe it. Because sometimes it could come to a dispute too, where we don't accept it or believe it. We need to believe it, believe who you are as a child of God, and then walk in the light of it. Praise the Lord. And that is why it makes sense now when Jesus said, these signs will follow every believer. Because if I believe everything that he did for me on the cross, why wouldn't the signs be evident in my life? It should be evident in my life. Praise the Lord. So another consequence of the love of Jesus is the way he forgave others. The Bible says that we forgive as he forgave us. And that's what that's our main text. Ephesians 5. That's what it was saying, that we should forgive. 5 verse 2. That we should forgive as Christ forgave us. Think about it. When Jesus came to the place on the cross, when he met the thief on the cross, he was under extreme duress. Under extreme duress, some of which we, you know, I love that song that says, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon the cross. You and I will never know. In fact, the revelation of it is just coming forth. A lot of it is just coming forth. So imagine how much extreme duress. There's nothing to compare it to. You know, because it was just much. But Jesus modeled forgiveness for us by forgiving not just the sins of the world, but the sins of even this thief that was being crucified with him. And as long as you and I accept the free gift of his mercy, we become forgiven. So not only, like we said before, we're forgiven, our sinful nature is handled. You know, the Bible says that all of us, we fall short in one way. But because of his forgiveness, no accusation stands against us. And for somebody, you cannot give what you don't have. So when you receive the forgiveness of God, guess what you do? You freely forgive. When love has been lavished freely in your heart by the Holy Spirit, what else do? You freely give forgiveness. And you forgive yourself, because, yeah, sometimes too, we hold ourselves in, we tie ourselves down. and we let the enemy condemn us, we forgive ourselves and we forgive others. No matter what, it may take a process, it may take a time, but God's purpose is that we freely forgive. Praise the Lord. So the same way that God forgave us as his enemies is the expectations that God has for us to forgive people who in one way or the other may choose to do enemy acts. That is by the evil spirit motivating them. Not again, that's the thing. The Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. Praise the Lord. So if we understand that, our anger should not be directed at the flesh and blood. Do you understand? It should be in the place of prayer against those principalities and powers, because we have dominion. You know, that dominion has been restored back to us. You know, and then we're no longer living by our feelings. We're living above our feelings, so we can forgive. It's like the means for us to forgive has been put within us. So you cannot withhold forgiveness. We have to get to that place where we let that person go and we let ourselves go as a result. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but there's somebody that you need to release in your heart. Release that person freely. Release that person. Praise the Lord. I was listening to a story about Kenneth Hagin. He was a pastor in a church, and he had been invited to come and minister. Meanwhile, the church that had invited him, the pastor for some reason did not like him. The pastor had bad-mouthed him, even to his own hearing. So now it was the reverse. The pastor was now coming to his own church. So of course, your flesh wants to return evil for evil now. You know, because you have to understand, our flesh has been trained in the ways of unrighteousness. And now we are now with the word of God, we're changing ways of unrighteousness to the ways of righteousness. And sometimes that flesh will come and flare up and challenge what you know and challenge and ask you, so who will you give in to? Are we going to yell at this pastor, or what are we going to do exactly? You know, so Kenneth Hagin was facing this situation, and he said within himself, he just decided that, you know, I have to repay evil with good. Many of us need to repay evil with good today. Many of us need to close the door to those natural tendencies and start repaying evil with good. Amen. And he decided to take offering. He decided to take extra offering for this man of God to change the tide. And he changed the tide. Just by that single act of obedience, he gave in to that new nature, to that love that had been made abundant in his heart by the Holy Spirit. And not just in his heart, in yours and my heart too. Praise the Lord. So it is within our effort. We can return evil for good by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. So now that we've talked about love, the challenge now is, child of God, you and I, the challenge for us is let's study more about the love that motivated Jesus and the love that is still motivating him to still keep loving us today. Despite the fact we don't always get it right. Praise the Lord. So now I will talk about the faith of Jesus. And I have 11 minutes to do that. I can do all things. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says that God upholds the world by his word. And as God is, so are you and I in this world. You know, because Jesus walked in faith and every time he hit the mark, it means you and I can walk in faith and every time hit our mark as well. Praise the Lord. Jesus was not here on earth as God. Because some people will say, oh, because Jesus was God, all those miracles followed him. Oh, no. Jesus was a man. He had flesh and blood like you and I, but he exercised his faith every day because he believed the word of God concerning him and he exercised it every day. Those signs followed him. The same way, if you and I choose to believe everything that Jesus did on the cross and who we are in Christ Jesus, guess what? Those signs will follow us. When you don't even have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a preacher. When you lay your hands on the sick, they will get well. That's what the Bible says. Let's read that scripture. And I didn't give it to anybody. It's Mark 16. Thank you, sir. Mark 16:17, I believe. Yes. Let's read together. Mark, okay, I'll read for the sake of time. I don't want to take time. Mark 16:17 says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Who are the people that believe? We believe. As long as you have received the Lord Jesus, and you believe everything he did for you on the cross, and you receive and you accept it, these miraculous signs will accompany you and I. Number one, they will cast demons in my name, and they... Oh, it's even here. I mean, but let's just remove the myth. Let's remove the day. Say, I will cast out demons in the name of Jesus. That is the evidence. Number two, I will speak in new languages. Let's continue. I will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if I drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt me. I will be able to place my hands on the sick, and I will be healed. Praise the Lord. And they will be healed. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. So you see, because I think we have had erroneous teaching whereby we feel like it's only people that are ministers of God that can operate in faith. But this is where all those rules, all those lies of the enemy, they're thrown outside of the window. Now you are an evangelist, a minister of reconciliation in your own right. I don't care if you're 19, I don't care if you're 20, 21, 50, 81, you're a minister of reconciliation. And God has put you in your family to be a light, in your place of work to be a light, in your generation, yes, in this generation. That is why you are alive today, to declare the goodness of God. No matter what situation you find yourself, you are a minister of reconciliation, and these signs follow you. Why? Because you simply believe what Jesus did on the cross. That's it. Praise the Lord. God is not asking for anything. He's not asking you the issue of sin. He has already dealt with it. You don't need to go to Bible college. All you need to do, just know Jesus, know his faith, exercise it, and fully function in the way whereby you run with purpose and no shadow boxing. You keep hitting the mark. Praise the Lord. And that's how Jesus walked. That is how Jesus walked. When Jesus walked in faith, he called those things that are not as though that they were. I don't know what things are there in our lives that we're calling as they are. If there's sickness in your life, you better start calling health. Start calling it health. You are whole. You are whole. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you are whole. Every organ, every tissue works perfectly. Do we wait till we're sick? No, no, no. Every day we declare it. Why? It is our heritage. It is our heritage. And the sooner we understand, when something is your heritage, nobody can dispute it with it. So that way, you freely stand on it. You freely stand on it. So that way, ignorance does not steal it from us. Praise the Lord. And that is how Jesus operated. You know, if we look at how, when Jesus passed the fig tree, he passed the fig tree, Mark 11:14, and he says to that fig tree, no one will ever eat fruit from you again. His disciples were listening. They were shocked at the fig tree being withered when they passed by later. And he told them to have faith in God constantly. What Jesus demonstrated to them there is that our faith-filled words, they have power to affect situations in our lives. When circumstances are going on, what we say affects the situation. And we are going to either give life with our tongues, or we will either give death with our tongues. What are you giving? What are you saying? What are you saying out of your... What are you saying about your children? What are you saying about your ministry? Each of us has a ministry, yes. What are you saying about your future? Yes, the plan for God for us is for good and not for evil. God's plan for our futures is for good and not for evil. I don't know where you've come today. Maybe you have uncertainty about your future. Start calling those things that are not as though they were. Let your words, start changing the course of those circumstances. Praise the Lord. Look at it again. When Jesus lost his friend Lazarus, you know, it's very interesting because as soon as they told Jesus, Lazarus is sick. You know, you would think right there and then he would drop everything and just run to Lazarus. But Jesus recognized a divine opportunity. This was a divine opportunity. And Jesus made a declaration. He said, this sickness will not end in death, but on the contrary, it is for the glory and honor of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified by it. I don't know, what declarations are you and I not making? Because we're giving into the emotions. We're crying, why me? But God is saying to you and I this morning, instead of why me, we need to declare the power of God in that situation. If you do not know what it is, go and look for it. The Bible says nothing will be impossible to him who believes. So now you and I, we are called to be prophets of our lives. What are you prophesying onto your life? What are you prophesying every day when you get out the house? What are you prophesying when you get on the train, get in your car? Are you declaring no evil will come near my dwelling? Every time the enemy sends a thought coming, I know those lies will come. They will come because at one point or the other, the enemy may say, oh, what if happens? What if this happens? You need to stand by. No shadow boxing. Hit the mark on. No. My life is hid in Christ Jesus. I'm already whole. I am whole from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. No. Another thing I tend to say is that I say, no evil comes near my dwelling. I declare that a lot. So it's important you and I, but how do we know what to declare? Again, get in the Word of God. Be a student of the Word of God. Go beyond reading. Personalize it. Write it down. Declare it to yourself. Say it over your children. Say it over your workplace. Say it over your church. Say it over your family. Say it over your life. Why? That is why the Word of God is there. The Word of God is not there to just paint a good story. It is there to bring revolution, to bring change. And that change, maybe we're waiting for God to change things. God has already made that change. He has already given you the tools by which you make that change. All we need to do, stand up, rise up, use the tools in your hand, declare the end of that situation before it is there. Don't wait until the end comes. Declare it now. Now, child of God. Why? Because your words are not ordinary. You are not the same person you used to be. The greater one is in you. You are not like the rest of them. You have been set apart. There is a life-giving spirit within you. Let it create life. Let it create life in any environment that you are, in the company where you are working. Because you are there, that company will prosper. Because you are there, that company will not go under. Why? Because there is a light. Remember, Joseph was in Potiphar's house. Pastor was preaching about that recently. And that just blew my mind. I just said, you know what? Oh, this is, in fact, it just changed my small thinking from that day. Me, I was thinking I was being humble. How stupid. How stupid. And I said, I have to rise to the level to which Christ has. Jesus did not go on the cross for nothing. He went to the cross for much. Much was done on our behalf. And now we need to rise to the level of who we are. Praise the Lord. And that's what God is calling us to this morning. He's saying, rise to the full measure of the status of Jesus. He's saying, grow. Don't stay in status quo. Don't stay in frustration. Don't stay in, this thing is not possible anymore. It remains impossible when you choose to see it as impossible. We need to stay in the Word of God. Keep building your faith, your confidence. Keep declaring the word on that situation. Keep standing. Keep standing, and the word will produce. First the blade, then the ear. It will come. It will surely come. The word of God, it will produce a harvest. It is a seed. The Bible calls the word of God something that cannot be destroyed. It says it is incorruptible. When something is incorruptible, it does not go bad. It does not get forgotten. The only person that could forget it is us. So I don't know where your miracle has been. Maybe you've dropped it. Today is the day to pick it up. Because Jesus is saying, imitate me. Imitate me. But don't imitate me blindly. Imitate me with faith. Imitate me believing who you are in Christ Jesus. You are not nothing. I don't know how many curse words have been said over our lives. I don't know, maybe people have said terrible things. It's time to start changing them back. Time to start changing them back. Child of God, you are in this church today because God called you here. And God has called you that the word of God is living and active. It's not just an ordinary book. This is a word of, these are words, living and active. The same words that created the heavens and the earth are the same words that raised Jesus up from the dead, and the same words that are able to do exceeding abundantly. I don't know what you dream. Exceeding abundantly. God is able to do it, and he's faithful, and he will do it. So I challenge us today. Let's rise up and start the life of imitating Jesus. I was going to talk about the Apostle Paul, but I think this is a good place to stop. I think we already covered it. So let's rise up. Let's rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks, and remain blessed.